Jesus referred to his people as a lot of different things. What is the main thing Jesus called us? What? Disciples. Yeah. What else? Sheep. Bah. Jesus said, my sheep listen and my sheep hear my voice. That is our happy privilege as God's children. That's an everyday normal opportunity for all of us. And we hear God through the scriptures, like Judy shared with us. We hear God through these impressions in our spirits, which become these words and these pictures. And when it comes to words that we experience or we believe are for the church, we consider them as leaders and how and with, if and when they should be shared publicly. We try to determine what Paul, the Apostle Paul, calls an orderly way to share them. So the purpose of prophetic ministry, speaking on behalf of God to people, is to build up the church. It's to encourage us as the community of believers. You can read more about that in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 14. So I have two men with me this morning who have prophetic words for us. The first is our founding pastor, Dick Blackwell, who, give him a round of applause. Yes, thank you. He loves that. No, he doesn't. Dick and Becky moved here almost 50 years ago. 76. To build this family for us in part. And Kevin Faupp serves on our ministry team. Give Kevin a big round of applause. Kevin is a professor at JMU. And the timing of their messages and the way they fit together, this kind of thing, it always blows me away. So I'll have each of them share a little something and then we'll go on from there. Go ahead, Pastor Dick.
The words come in different ways. For me, they've never been like word for word, but impression from the Lord. And a couple Sundays ago, both words came to me. The first one was when I was leaving, somebody said to me about how wonderful this church is and how great it was that we came here. And of course, I deflected that. But when I got in the car, the Lord said, don't ever take credit for what I did here. Mm-hmm. He said, you have never done anything good that I haven't done in your life. And so I felt the Lord say, well, it's not just for me, but at this season, as we begin to minister to others, he's saying, acknowledge him in the things you do with mm-hmm. the people around you. Don't let them think that you are, you know, have done great things. Tell them it was God and how Amen. He works through our lives. Amen. It's very important that we do that, that we not neglect him or take him for granted, but that we acknowledge him in all things. The second word was when Mike was preaching on, what did you call it, being sober?
Sobriety. A couple weeks, yeah.
Which has a lot of things, not just alcohol. And as he preached that, the Lord said to me, and it came this way. Do you remember when Pharaoh and was having the plagues in Egypt? And Pharaoh said, Moses, please take these plagues away. And Moses said, when do you want them to go? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. And I thought, one more night with the frogs. And as he was willing to tolerate the frogs one more night, the Lord said to me, Dick, you're willing to tolerate something in your life that you know needs to go. I thought, it's insignificant. He said, but it's causing a distraction in our relationship. Mm. You need to confess it to someone who will hold you accountable, not just pray that it goes away.
Yeah.
My grace is sufficient to work with you on this and help you if you'll initiate and confess and work on it. If you're not willing to confess it, then I will bring it to light.
Wow.
It is better for you to do it on your own and not wait for me to initiate.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Dick. Kevin.
So last Sunday, I walked in and saw this big sign that said Sent. And Mike was getting up here to preach, and I came up and I said, I just want to encourage you that, you know, I feel like the Lord has been pressing. I don't even know where this is going, but I feel like the Lord has been impressing a similar theme in my heart. And it started for me probably back in May or June when I really started hearing this impression from the Lord that it's a season to be seen. And I started asking God, like, what is that? What do you mean by that? And I felt like immediately he said to me, well, I don't see you making me seen. I was like, ouch. You know? And I said, well, God, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. And he said, yeah, but what about over here? What about over here? You know? And it's like, wow, okay. And it just felt like the Lord is saying, I want to be seen. It's a time for him to be seen. It's a time for Christians to be seen. And I was telling Mike, it's like, it's almost like this, he gave me this, like, blank check. Hey, I got you. Go be seen. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried about what people are going to say or do. Or, you know, Mike said, I'm a professor at JMU. And it's just like, you know what? I'm just going for it. Like, whatever. Like, if that ends up being bad, then so be it. You know, like, I'm not going to. The Lord showed me one day. He said, do you realize that you hear my name more taken in vain than you do honored here? Will you honor my name here?
Come on.
And I was like, you bet. Every time somebody says it the wrong way, I say, that's not who he is. You know? Look for those opportunities to be seen. God started showing me that they're called, he's calling them softballs. He's like, dude, you know, sometimes you got to work for it, but sometimes I'm lobbing them up right there.
Yeah.
So when my student says, oh, you know, whatever, and I'm just like, no, that's not who Jesus is. Let me tell you about who Jesus is, you know? Or they say, you know, people will say, like, well, maybe you should pray about it or pray for me. You know, they kind of say it facetiously.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, let's do that right now.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go.
You opened the door.
You asked for it.
You know? So, yeah, so I just, and God's leading us in evangelism and you know, a group of guys that I'm running with and just getting out on campus and stuff. And so, can I pray?
Yeah.
Real quick?
Definitely.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Please.
Yeah, let's do that. So, Lord, I just pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Stir in our hearts a season to be seen, God. A season
Thank you, God.
You to be glorified and lifted up. It's not about us, God, but it's about you, God. Will you release that blank check over our congregation today, God, and allow us just to walk freely, God, and who you called us to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Dick, Pastor Dick. Dick. Hey, will you pray for us too?
Okay.
So, I think the thing is, here, you can hold this. To be seen for who God wants us to be seen, there needs to be purity, right? And that's what you're talking about. Or that's what God's bringing through you, is there needs to be purity. Stop tolerating these things I didn't design you to live with.
Amen.
So, I mean, you don't have to pray that, but, you know, pray, you know, however you want, but.
Well, we want to be clean vessels.
Yeah. Amen.
So let's deal
Thank
with
you,
whatever
Lord.
God is saying to deal with.
Yep.
Lord, we do thank you that you have sent us into this world. You're a wonderful God. You've done great things in our life. Why shouldn't we share it with others? If we see a good movie, we tell people about it. If we hear of good things, we tell them. You're the best.
Amen.
May we be honest and open and encouraged to share what a wonderful life comes through knowing you. A life that's We're supplied doesn't mean everything goes well, but you're there to support, encourage, and help. So give us wisdom, give us understanding and discernment, but give us boldness, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks, both of you. I just want to encourage you, you know, one of the things Dick asked is that we would tell someone. So you're the only one who knows what you're tolerating that God's putting his finger on. Tell someone about that. That's partly how you get free. All right, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. That is our key verse for this series. And it comes from something Jesus said on the evening of his resurrection when he completely surprised his disciples behind locked doors. Last week, we considered the fact that we are sent by Jesus. And today, we'll look at the fact that we are sent to the world. We're sent to the world in the dark, stumbling around without a light. Everyone knows we need light, right? Light grows our food. Light, thanks to the evaporation cycle, gives us water. Light gives us breath, actually, because of what it does through trees. And everyone knows that without light, you can't see right. Without light, you can't see right. You might have perfect vision. You might have 20/20 vision. But without light, if you're in the pitch dark, you can't see anything. There must be light for there to be sight. To be able to see things the way they truly are, there has to be sight. This is why Jesus used light to describe himself. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's picking up on a common theme here, one that the people would have been familiar with. For over 1,000 years, Yahweh, the Savior, the Messiah, this Jesus who was going to come one day, he was known by the people as light. King David saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The prophet Micah wrote, "Though I will sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." The prophet Isaiah told the people of God, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you." He was prophesying 600 years in the future about when Jesus was going to do that. And so for all of time, the key leaders of God's people had considered their future Savior would be a light of some kind. But now Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus announces, "Here I am. I am the light of the world," Jesus says. On at least 3 separate occasions, he repeats that announcement. The light is here. I'm the one you've been waiting for. And then one day, he says the following words to his disciples, no doubt shocking them yet again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." Judy, did you know we were going to read this verse today? Seriously? What can I tell you? God is speaking to us. That was the message version or the passion message paraphrase. They don't put it under, he said a bucket, Eugene Peterson. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. If you are a Christian, you are the light of the world. That's what he was saying to them too. And the situation where he made that statement and its location within his talk are very important. Jesus said those words to a crowd in his famous Sermon on the Mount right after the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful. And right before he goes into this lengthy preach about what good works and what actions might cause your light to shine. It's a very specific type of light he's talking about. It's not random acts of kindness. It's not you're a nice person, so there must be Jesus in you. Immediately after saying this, Jesus says this. He said, "Listen, don't think I've come to abolish or get rid of the law. I've not come to abolish it. It's still relevant. I've come to fulfill it." And then he brings an even higher expectation for following the Jewish moral laws. Remember this? You've heard it was said this. I'm telling you this. You've thought it was this. I'm telling you it's this. If you read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, that's how it goes. And he's describing how to follow these Jewish moral laws how we are to live. And he says this, love your enemies, serve your enemies, forgive your enemies. You can imagine people starting to check out from that sermon. There's whatever he's talking about. Do whatever it takes, or at least whatever you can, to reconcile with people, Jesus says. This is what causes your light to shine for others. Go ahead and do the random acts of kindness, but this, obeying my law, doing what I'm telling you. He continues, if you continue reading in Matthew 5 and 6, stop making excuses for adultery and sexual sin and divorce. Stop worrying. Stop judging everyone. These are the works that make your invisible faith visible. He continues, be real with people. Be honest. Be the same person everywhere. Be generous. And don't tell anyone you're being generous. Pray and fast. Trust me. Obey me. Do what I do, and you will be a great light. When you put it all together with this statement about us being light, it's like he's saying, look, the world is dark. You think it's dark, it's darker than you know, and it needs you, so be bright. Here's how you do it. So you're here to help people see how to live. You have the fruits of the Spirit in you if you're a Christian. These are very rare things. True love, true joy, true peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. How many people do you know who are truly gentle, faithful, self-control? You are here to help people see what those actually look like and how they fit into every aspect of your day and your work and your relationships, how you do everything, because they point to the eternal God. Where better to see these things than on the sidelines of a soccer field? A couple weeks ago, my son, who's 16, joined a new soccer team. It is the best team he has played on his whole life. Thank God that the coaching is great. The players are great. It's so fun watching them play. They can read each other's plays. They know what they're going to do. And the parents, a lot of the parents know each other. The kids, a lot of these kids have been playing together since they were like 7. And so we get in these conversations. Of course, it's very segregated. For some reason, the dads are over here, all the middle-aged dads, and then the women are over there. Last week, I got talking with the dads, and we're trading old sports stories. Yeah, I had surgery here. Yeah, I broke that. Yeah, I did this, you know. Yeah, I can't do that anymore. And it's fun. It's fun because, you know, we're like this, you know, getting up and out of our chairs. And the kid, our kids are out there running around like they're just, their bodies are perfect, right? And so we're talking about all these superficial things, but then it gets a little deeper and we start talking about our families and we start talking about where we live, start talking about our work. Tell a group of guys you're a pastor and you just, the thing just changes a little bit. All of a sudden it's like, oh, sorry I said that, you know. It's like, it's okay, I'm used to it. Then we start talking about coaches, the good coaches they had, the bad coaches they had. Then we start talking about the other people we know. Then COVID comes up, because of course, COVID always comes up. So then we talk a little bit of politics. And before you know it, there is light and there is dark. And I'm not saying light and dark because we all agree, and this guy's light. I'm not saying it like that. I'm not putting anyone in categories. I'm just saying, as a Christian, you can begin to sense it. Do you know what I'm talking about? And at the end of the game, this one dad and I, who I was almost certain was a Christian by this point, the two of us end up waiting alone together for the kids, and we start telling stories about the bigger stories about our life, how we got to this point. We start talking about college. And the next thing I know, we're practically in tears sharing our stories about how we came to faith. Have you ever had an experience where you see something in someone that intrigues you or convinces you, they must be a Christian? Would that be said of all of us? God, let that be said of the people of Grace Covenant, that when people see our lives, they would say, I bet they're one of those Christ followers. What is it? What is the light that you see? Do people think that about you? How are you going to show that? And like I said, it's not just being nice and everything's okay and whatever you want to do is fine. I'm not talking about that because Jesus said, do not conform. Actually, the Apostle Paul said, do not conform to what? The pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to have your head straight before you're going to live straight. When people see you, not your skin, not your tattoos or whatever, that doesn't matter. They should see something different than the pattern of this world. They should see someone who thinks and talks and does differently. You can even say the strongest truths and they can feel loved as they hear it. For you were once darkness. You were darkness, Paul told the Ephesians. But now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. We have our ways of trying to expose sin in everyone. Gotcha. What if we were to expose sin by living in such a way they could see admission of our own sin and some kind of humility? Live as children of the light. So how does that happen? Well, first of all, if you're not a Christian, and you know if you are, you know because you can go to sleep at night and you're like, I'm going to live forever. Good night. If you don't have confidence that you're going to live forever with Jesus because of Jesus, you might not be a Christian. Let us pray with you. This is the simplest starting point. You say yes to God. I'm not sure what all I'm saying yes to, but I know I need you. I know I've messed up my life. Will you forgive me? We'll get you started with that at the end of this service. First thing is, say yes to God. Give your life to him for what he wants with it. Secondly, begin to and make this lifelong practice of talking and listening to God through the scriptures, through prayer, and then do what he tells you. Not just whatever, do what he tells you, align through the scripture. And third, find some other people doing that. Find some other lights and follow the example of the brightest lights you can find. Who has that been for you? Think about that for a second. Who was a bright light for you at some point in your life? And who have you been that light to? Thanks, Catherine. Those are great questions. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Remember that? In closing, I'm going to tell you what the windows are all blacked out for. I want to give you a picture of the world that needs that light. We often think of the world in terms of lands and countries, languages and cultures and people groups, and the world is all that. We also think of the world, if we're not careful, as our enemy. It is the world out there to get us, and so we are against the world, which I understand. But we truthfully only have one enemy, and people are not it. For God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that he came as Jesus. So when Jesus used the word world, he was referring to people. This is my perspective, this is my theology. When Jesus used the word world, he was referring to people who do not have light. It's going to get really, really dark in here in about 10 seconds. So if you're afraid of the dark, well, we'll pray for you on that too. But are you ready? I'm going to turn out the lights briefly. You'll be able to see my giant iPad probably. Other than that, it's going to be really dark. The exits are right there in the back. The lights are on. All right, can you turn the lights out? This is what you're dealing with if you don't have Christ. You simply cannot see right. You can't see things clearly. You can't see the way they truly are, or you can't see them at all. And this is what people who don't have the light of Christ within them are dealing with. They're trying to navigate all the same situations as us. They're trying to find meaning in life. They're trying to find decent relationships, career. They're trying to get over all their mistakes in the past. They're trying to have some kind of hope for the future. And they are completely in the dark. This ought to give us compassion. Of course they're confused. Of course they're doing all kinds of stupid things. They can't see. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus and Stephen said, as they were being killed, they don't know what they're doing. Christians have a responsibility. This has to be our posture. Instead of expecting something different for them, instead of expecting a light they don't have, how about we give them some of our light? How about showing them the light of Jesus? Let me tell you about my life. My whole life is oriented and guided by someone named Jesus. How about we show them the light of Jesus who will fix their behavior? Sorry, this thing is super bright. I mountain bike at night with this light. It's 1,000 lumens. If I put it in any of your eyeballs for very long, you won't be able to see. What does that remind you of? This represents what you and what we as Christians bring to the world. This is how we best expose the deeds of darkness in this world, not by pointing out everyone else's sin, but by living with such radical purity, such a radical and beautiful, bright and shining light. People are like, I need to go over there. I need to go over there. I can't see anything over here. And people are like drawn into this. If you can't see anything and you're in the back corner like, and you see this thing up here, wouldn't you like, well, maybe I ought to go up there? Luke, Emily, can you come up here? Yeah, good luck. Turn your phone on or something. Yeah, you can turn the lights up. You can turn the lights on. There you go. You are the light. It's not my idea. You have the light in you to be that light. So whatever is holding you back from being bright, like Dick shared, it needs to go. It could be fear. It could be sin. Usually they go together. Whatever is holding us back, it has to go. You know, it sounds dramatic, but moments like this, you come to like this Y in the road. This is a classic thing preachers say, but it couldn't be more true anyway. You are like at a Y in the road right now. And how you, which direction you go impacts all the rest of us too. We're somehow related. We're the body of Christ. That means what happens over here impacts this. Would you please, just for a minute, do we have a minute? Just for a minute, Would you maybe close your eyes? Search your heart. God, is there anywhere is there anything, any little thing, any huge thing that I've been tolerating in my life that is robbing me from the purity you gave me, Jesus? I want to be bright. Jesus, I want this church to be as bright as she can be. Jesus, would you help us to more clearly hear your voice? Would you give us a new passion for your written word? A new passion to hear your voice? Would you give us new courage to do everything you tell us to without holding back? Would you help us to be a bright, bright light for you and for this world? Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we have a ministry team come forward? We'd like to love to pray for all of you. If you are, can we all stand up briefly? If you're new or you're newer here to Grace Covenant, please meet us back there in the corner afterwards. We'd love to pray for anyone, for any reason. Maybe you're brand new to all of this talk about Jesus and following God. We would love to pray for you. Maybe you want to be a light, but you don't know how. Maybe you're in some kind of sin or fear, and you've worked through it about 100,000 times, and you're tired of it. Let us pray with you again. That's all I've got for you. Jesus, we thank you for sharing your light with us so we can see how to live. Would you help us to follow your light and take as many people as we can with us? In Jesus' name, amen. Please come back 6 o'clock tonight. It's going to be awesome. 6 o'clock tonight, Vision Night. God bless you all.